News Radio WJPF, Dr. John Jackson, Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Morning, John.
Good morning, Tom.
You know, this debate over the budget, John, is it sophistry to say it's not just a debate about the budget, it's a debate about this country's debt?
Some people would like to couch it that way. I don't agree with that at all, however. The fact of the matter is these people that are holding it up, there are only about six or eight of them, and there are only about 20 in the so-called Freedom Caucus. That's out of 222 Republicans, 435 House members. So it's a tiny minority. These people, in the words of Kevin McCarthy last week, are not interested in making policy. They're not interested in solving the debt or the budget problems. As McCarthy said, they just want to burn the house down. These people are anarchists, and they don't want to go through the regular order of making a budget, making policy. They just want to get on Fox News.
Yeah, and my boss said something very similar. I think overnight four of those people changed their mind. I heard that in a New York broadcast early this morning. But I don't know that it's not in some ways too late, because there's another debate that goes on. Those of us who aren't in Washington, D.C., watching what's going on and the budget and the position they put this country in. And the debate is about credibility.
Yeah, and absolutely. It goes back in some ways to the whole debate about raising the budget ceiling, which we endured back in April or May. That, too, was contrived because the full faith and credit of the United States government can't be questioned according to the Constitution, among other things, and it's got to be respected. We're going to pay our bills, and we've got to keep the economy moving. And, by the way, the economy is the strongest in the world, and we have to keep it in the kind of shape that it's in. But these sideshows can certainly do damage, and to the men and women serving in the armed forces, people serving on the front lines of government, to be subjected to this is just nonsense.
14 times since 1980.
14 times we've shut down?
Yeah.
Well, it goes away, but still you've got to get past the crisis and you've got to pay the price, and it's usually frontline people that pay the price.
You know, when it comes to this debate, though, I mean, I get this. If you're trying to draw attention to it, the U.S. debt grows at $14 billion per day. The U.S. is getting ready to issue $2 trillion in bonds over the next 6 months. But like you said, the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And now here's another subtext. They don't want more military aid for the Ukraine. To date, if my numbers are correct, $70 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. And it was interesting, and I'm not sure whether it was Matt Gaetz or Rand Paul, and I was watching from the floor, and he says, why would we borrow money from China to give to the Ukraine? And this is one of their points they want to try to make during this process.
Well, let them have a debate and a vote on money for Ukraine, continue our support for Ukraine. The answer to the question is the same reason we supported NATO all these years, because we need a stable Central Europe. We need a stable boundary between the countries of Central Europe. World War I and II taught us that. We thought we'd outgrown that, but the ego of Putin made him want to be the next czar, and so we've got to keep him contained is the answer to that question. But let's have that debate, not do it with this sledgehammer, which is only at best an indirect way to get to that debate.
You know, I find this interesting in another respect, the sheer weight of the paperwork. Let's just say the House does vote on this temporary bill. I mean, there are 12 pieces of legislation that have to be dealt with as part of the budget, but there, of course, a lot of this coming down on the defense portion of the program. But, you know, even now, would they be able to get it done by 12:01 a.m. on Sunday morning?
Well, that's exactly right, the problem, and it's very esoteric. People don't want to know about these details, but they've got 12 budget bills, each one of them in a subject matter area, like defense, for example, And all of those have been through what's called regular order, which is the way the Congress should make their policy on the budget and have been doing, although they've crammed it all up now into this one weekend. And they need to vote on those individual ones because they've held hearings. They've gone back and forth over what that price tag should be like. It's gone through the routine of how the Congress works. And instead, we get this blow it all up and just throw that all out. Ultimately, those 12 packages have got to be passed.
You know, I did look when we were talking about the five, you know, that were really holding things up over the week. And I said McCarthy, you know, gave them a pretty good thrashing in public as well. I just checked. There was not, because I thought maybe Mary Miller was there. She was not on that list. North Dakota, I think. I mean, I didn't even recognize any of their names, to be honest with you. I just noted that none of them were from Illinois. But, you know, the subject of government, credibility, how well we get along, how well we function, and at the same time, the debt, the U.S. government's effect on the economy itself. At a time where, when you do read the polling, people are very, this is top of the mind. They want something done about the economy, and they're looking for somebody to do this. So really, there's a psychological crater that's created in this situation as well.
Well, there's a perception out there, which is not correct and not based on facts, that the economy's in bad shape. And actually, the economy is not in bad shape. The dollar is as strong or stronger than it's ever been. It's the strongest currency in the world because the world wants to do business in the dollar. The Chinese tried to create an alternative to it. They failed. And their economy, which we're so afraid of, is much worse off than ours. So the dollar is strongest that's ever been. The economy's in great shape, except for some of these problems that we've just been talking about, which are political problems, not economic problems. But the American people aren't feeling that. They still are down and all upset about the economy when, in fact, it's in great shape. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been. Inflation is not totally uncontrolled, but under control, but it's down to 3.7. And so the facts don't match the perception. It's popular perception, of course, that prevails in politics.
Well, I think people's judgment of the economy now is largely driven by two ideas, when they go to the grocery store and when they consider a home, rent, or buying a new home.
Well, I would add the price of gasoline, and yeah. You're exactly right. The price of gasoline, groceries are number one and number two, no doubt. And people do feel that. I'm not saying there hasn't been inflation in those. And clearly, the price of gasoline is one that we see as we drive to work every day. And that's what top of the mind is. But that doesn't actually mean the economy is in terrible shape, because overall, the economy's in great shape. And the government actually has not much they can do about the price of gasoline. Certainly, the president doesn't make the price of gasoline. Oil companies and OPEC and Saudi Arabia and Russia are responsible almost entirely for what you're paying for gasoline.
What'd you think about the ABC Washington Post poll that has Trump edging out Biden 51-42 in a head-to-head matchup?
Yeah, I saw that. It's an outlier. We always get outliers in the polls. Trump's been up in one or two, but it's mostly been tied or within the margin of error. And what you have to do is look at 585, the average of the reputable polls. They've all been close to tied. And NBC came out the next day and Reuters came out the next day, both on Monday of this week, with polls that are just like what the average has been. That is, Biden and Trump tied or 1 or 2 points.
There was one point that I thought was interesting, John, was the approval rating of Donald Trump has improved after he left office from when it was where he was when he left office to where it is now. when people look back at it, they now have to give him a higher approval number.
Well, I think that's because his base is so firm in the Republican Party, and the Republican Party essentially belongs to Donald Trump, and he's got 35 to 40% that's hardcore. Doesn't matter what he gets indicted for, doesn't matter what happens in those court cases, they're going to stick with him.
Dr. John Jackson, the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Thanks, John. Can you hold tight for a second?
Yeah, sure, Tom.
We're also going to take this up in a, I think, a pretty timely place. Congressman Mike Bost has agreed to join us on Friday at 7:20 on this subject as well.